Hey, Dad, and welcome to the Family Man Show. This is going to be a little different today because I'm starting the introduction because Scott and I are not able to do this live together. So I thought we'd, through the magic of the internet and audio editing, we're going to make it sound like we were here together. We were actually talking to each other. So I'm going to start this thing, and occasionally Scott's going to input because I'm going to send him this, and I'm going to ask him some questions, and we'll see how it works out, and we'll see if it's seamless between us. So we'll just pretend like we started all over, and now I'm going to have Scott introduce us and ask us, ask the usual, so how's it going, Todd? So let me give him, here we go. We're going to start all over. On your mark, get set, go.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. I'm your host, Scott Moore. This is the show dedicated to changing the world one dad at a time. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, hey, Scott, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Things have been going good here. It's been rainy. We made it through the our high school graduation with Sam. Everything turned out good there. We were finally able to get our mower. Remember, that was kind of the big deal. Because it had been broken for a while, and we got it. We brought it home. It didn't work right. The guy even knew it didn't work right. So we took it back. He had to get a new camshaft, I guess, and he fixed that. We got it roaring to life. We got it on Thursday. We kicked grass all Thursday. Sam, we have this big field, about an acre and a half maybe, and the grass was waist tall. In fact, when I was cutting it out on the mower, sitting on the mower, some of it was up to my chest. So we got it all hacked down, whacked down, and it turned out great. We had a great evening gathering, had lots of friends. Sam got lots of money, which is always fun. Kind of a rite of passage of being a high school graduate. And now we're kind of sinking back into life. It's been raining the last couple of days, storming here. I don't know about down in Cincinnati, Scott.
It's been lovely down here. Hot and muggy.
And so we're back down to getting ready for Friday. Friday's going to be our kids' day because we weren't able to do it on this past Friday because it was Sam's graduation. So we're going to do, my wife already bought him a slip and slide. I do not know why we buy slip and slides. They only have about a 1 week life expectancy. Then they get torn, they get ripped. The kids leave them all wadded up and they kill the grass underneath them. And then I end up throwing it away the next year when I find it all wadded up by my house in the spring. So they played on it yesterday, had a good time. It's probably already killing the grass even as we speak. But it's rainy, so they won't be out there today. But really the reason we're doing it this way, Scott, is because my wife and I are going to try to go out this afternoon and spend an overnight. Because remember I told you last time I was gone on our anniversary. So this is going to be our anniversary night tonight. We're going to do everything on the cheap. You know, my wife didn't want to go to the mall, walk around. She wanted to go to thrift shops and go to all the Goodwills in the surrounding area. So we're going to kind of map those out, head on up, and maybe even go to the Dollar Movie Theater where they're showing The Croods, which is that animated thing about those cave people, which is kind of a family story. And it's only a dollar. It's only a dollar tonight, so she'll like that. I don't know. I think we're using a gift card at Olive Garden that my parents got us for our anniversary, so we'll take care of that. So we might just get off scot-free, just, you know, doing some gas, kind of just paying for gas. But we're going to a Friday. The reason we're doing our kids today on Friday is Monsters, Inc. is in our local theater, and it's only had a cheap little one of those kind of little small town theaters on the main street, you know, where they only show one movie at a time. Well, this place only shows one movie at a time, and they only show them on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we're going to watch it, Monsters, Inc., for $5. That's about as cheap as you can get for the initial release of a video. So we're going to go watch that. I'm not sure what else we're going to do. Maybe go to the Wilson's kids' all-time favorite restaurant, which is Noble Romans. I don't know if you have one of those, but they have breadsticks. They used to be everywhere. They're not everywhere anymore. But my kids like the breadsticks, so we'll go and sit at our favorite table and eat breadsticks and then maybe go to Monster Inc. I was thinking, though, I haven't been as creative as I used to be. I should be a little more creative. Like, We haven't been putt-putting in a long time. We should maybe go check that out if it didn't cost so much. Or do something a little different, you know. Have us all go to the tennis courts and hit tennis balls around. Or go to the a park and where they have those big, gigantic castle playlands made out of wood that towns sponsor. So maybe we should go do that as well. But talking about other movies, I don't know if you knew this, Scott, but Despicable Me, my kids are always telling me. They're on top of these movie releases. They know that Despicable Me is coming out July 3rd, Despicable Me 2. And I'm sure you saw the first Despicable Me.
My son, Will, was dying to see that because for some reason, I don't know why, we're still, you know, talking to the psychiatrist about this because we're not really sure. He was very into the villain in every movie he saw from, like, birth. His favorite character in Star Wars, Darth Vader. And when he saw Darth Maul, he thought he was cool, too. It's always the bad guy that he liked in every other movie, too. So when Despicable Me came out and, like, the previews for it were all about how bad this guy was, he just had to see it. And of course, he loved it.
It's really one of those great dad movies. It's the making of a dad. And I love it because it just takes this semi-mean guy, cold-hearted, you know, who pops the balloon at the very beginning. And at the end, he reads that. You know, the little kittens or the unicorn story to his children, his now adopted children, and they become the most important thing in his life, and that's the story of a dad. So I'm highly anticipating Despicable Me 2 that comes out July 3rd. And I don't know about you, Scott, but my kids seem to be on top of all the movies that are coming out, at least these animated ones, and there's a lot of them coming out lately, whether it's Monsters University or Despicable Me 2, or they just had Epic that came out, which was certainly not Epic. You know, when I was a kid, they just had reruns of, like, Bambi and Dumbo and things like that every 7 years. And I don't ever remember anything highly anticipated except maybe Star Wars 2. And I don't know which one that was. The Empire Strikes Back, maybe that was it. And it's not 2 anymore. It's, like, 6. Do you have any movies that were highly anticipated when you were a kid, Scott, that maybe you went to go see?
Well, all the Star Wars sequels were certainly a big deal. But you know, Todd, the summer blockbuster actually wasn't a cultural occurrence until Jaws. That was the first movie that was released as, like, a summer blockbuster. And it was released in, like, 300 or 400, maybe 500 theaters nationwide.
I hope you said something, because of course I didn't hear you say anything. I'm starting to work on my You to Dad daily calendar 2014. Man, I can't believe I've been doing it for at least 8 years, 9 years. But I'm starting to get pumped and excited for putting stuff into the calendar. And I'm always picking up, like, throughout the year, I kind of pick up little resources. You know, my wife will pick up. In fact, my wife picked up this little book. I don't know if she gave it to me on Father's Day or when she gave it to me, but it's called A Thousand and One Things It Means to Be a Dad. It's by Harry H. Harrison Jr., H.H.H. Jr., by Thomas Nelson. But they have different, you know, just little, I don't know, one-liners, two sentences. And I was just looking through some of them, and I thought, you know, they're really true. I'll probably include some of them in there. Like it says this, this is number 503. Being a dad means not wanting your kids to judge others by the car they drive, even though, you know, a Porsche would complete you. You know, that's just like being a dad. Being a dad means looking at the chemistry one textbook and saying to your child, you're on your own. It says, being a dad, number 507, being a dad means regretting the time you missed watching your kids grow up and knowing you'll never get it back.
Ouch.
You know, when I read that, I was, like, almost taken aback because I didn't realize this was going to mention some of the failures of dads, which really, being a dad means you have a lot of failures, and especially this one. Regretting the time you missed watching your kids grow up and knowing you'll never get it back. You know, dads, we're all in that same boat. Scott, I'm sure you feel it too, you know, where we failed, we've missed our children, missed those teachable moments, we've missed those years that have passed so quickly, you know, because we were so busy in what we were doing or so busy in ourselves that we missed that. And then we have regrets knowing we can never get it back, you know, and I guess there's some comfort knowing then it's universal. All us dads feel that way. Now, I work really hard to make sure I don't, but I still have it. I still feel like, even with my oldest kids, you know, Sam graduated last year, Ben the year before. Ben has a friend who's a girl, you know, and he's gone a lot. And I think, man, I'm not going to get him back. He's going to be gone. And when he's gone for good, he's going to leave. And I should have been nicer. I should have been kinder. I shouldn't have been so critical. Because as we've talked in the past, I am critical. I'm not very nice sometimes. Sometimes I just want him to be way better than I was. Maybe that should be number 807 in this, wanting your kids to be better than you were. It says number 508, being a dad means realizing you haven't bought new underwear in 3 years, but your kids look like they've stepped off the pages of GQ and Vogue. You know, I feel that way. In fact, my wife, she used to buy me clothes. She buys my kids nice clothes now, especially my older kids. And I feel like I haven't had a new shirt in forever. Except all my, you know, you did that or my dad cool shirts that I've made myself. And then I'll just do one more. I will do two more. 509 says being a dad means sometimes wounding your child unintentionally. And of course, we do that. I've got a son right now that I can't believe I'm even telling you this. I've said that was stupid, or I can't believe you'd be that stupid to my son like 3 times. My son Isaac, 3 times in the last 2 weeks. And they were stupid things, and he shouldn't have done them. But how could I, the family man, a dad who loves his son so much, and I know that my words have the power to hurt somebody so badly and to really push them away from us, how could I say that? But I guess stupid dads do that.
I never do that. I'm just kidding. My wife, actually, yesterday we were at a swim meet, and my wife reminded me gently at one point that I needed to say several nice things to my son, Luke, before the night was over, because I had said a couple harsh things to him already and hadn't really said anything all that positive yet. So I did my best, and I said some nice things to him. And, you know, it's funny because when you choose to recognize those things, they seem to appear more often. Funny how that works.
So the last one that I'm going to read is 510. It says, being a dad means taking a 13-year-old to the mall on a thin hope that he'll say more than 3 words to you and having him spend all his time on a cell phone. You know, that's being a dad. Hate that. And I'd like to think that, oh, we've got that under control. My kids don't use the cell phones because, hey, I control that. But we don't control that. In fact, we might be able to control a little bit. We might be able to control some of the things. But Scott, I don't know about you. Did any of those things resonate with you?
Yeah.
Well, I thought so. And let me just ask you, Scott, because I usually ask this. So how are things going in the Scott Moore house?
We're doing good, Todd. We had my wife just let me know. She's listening to me as I try and play this part of the podcast here. So she let me know that we have one son who is has taken up the habit of spitting in the house occasionally. And if you know my wife at all, you know that spitting is about the last thing you want to do anywhere near her. I'm actually amazed my son's still alive at the moment. And he was told that if he spit in the house again, he was going to be fined $20. And this is Will. He's only 7. He doesn't have $20. And he did. He spit one more time. But he said, but Mom, I cleaned it up. And she said, well, there are 3 big baskets full of laundry downstairs that need to be folded. You can either pay me $20 or you can fold all 3 baskets of laundry. And so he did.
Boy, you don't say. Well, that sounds exciting and maybe a little bit scary. And I'm trying to cover other things, like maybe frightening and cause a lot of worry, but a lot of joy at the same time. So anyway, hey, another shout out to my friend Kevin Fitro, who might be listening, maybe not. Kevin's getting ready to head out on a 3-week RV journey into the wild, wild west. And I know he's a little apprehensive because, you know, it's scary to go on an RV for that long. Because as he said, you know, what about if I run out of water? What about if I don't have a place to stay? What about it? You know, and I say, you'll figure it out, Kevin. You know, we all do. All us RVers, we don't know anything. In fact, if you're interested in knowing more about RVing, we have an RV CD that we posted, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago on our website. You can go to, just look in the audio section, and you can, it's RVing, the ultimate family tool. It's a lot of good information. But, you know, sometimes we dads are so afraid of what might happen that we end up doing nothing. I told Kevin, things are going to happen. You are going to have your RV almost burned to the ground. You are going to run out of water. You are going to do all those things. But, man, that's the cost of doing life, as you've heard me say before. So, Kevin, I hope you have a great time. We'll be anxious to hear all about it when you get back. And dads, if you haven't planned a vacation or planned some kind of special outing with your kids, an adventure, you need to get on that, because here we are, June 26th, when I record this, as I'm recording this, and you know, you need to get on the stick. It won't be long before it's July 4th, and then it's going to be Labor Day, and then it's going to be all over. So make sure you do your summer plans and take care of them really, really soon. Hey, a little change of direction here, Scott, before we get into our really change of direction, or what I'd like to talk about maybe for the last little bit of time. I had a question from a guy on Facebook, and he said, talking about RVing, he's thinking about getting an RV and taking it because he can do his job on the road. He's thinking about taking his family, and he wants to know about homeschooling. I'm going to guess that this guy, this dad, is not homeschooling. He's not just asking, how do you do homeschool on the road? But he's got a question about, how do you get into homeschooling? And we've never really talked about that. We had an interview, I don't know how many months ago, but we were at a homeschool convention. We talked a little bit about our homeschooling journey. But I just thought, maybe there's a dad out here listening right now who's kind of heard that I homeschool and Scott homeschools, and has thought, you know, that might be a great opportunity for our family. Maybe we could travel around, or maybe it would give us some flexibility, or maybe we could just get our kids out of what they are in now, and we'd like to teach them at home. And I just a really quick, because I don't want to belabor this, but when we started homeschooling, we didn't know anything. We just got did some stuff online, asked a few people, and we got some, you know, kind of workbooks, and you can go that direction. But if you're thinking about homeschooling, I would say go at least look in these directions. If you like workbook pages and all those things, traditional kind of school, you could do a Becca or Bob Jones. Those are both, you know, kind of Christian school in your homeschool. But there are other things. There's great science curriculum program called Apologia. Carmen Davis, who's a good friend of mine, owns the company and does a great job. Check out Apologia. It's probably .com or .org or .something. We have some friends who are Harvard graduates who started the program teaching textbooks. It's all on the computer. It's super cool. My kids actually love using their math program. It goes from about third grade all the way through high school through calculus. You know, we started out with a program called Sunlight. It's based on literature. There are other programs that are based on literature. They have you read a lot of good books, and you just keep reading and reading. And my kids have read all kinds of good books. And there are other programs, Horizons in Math, or you could check out some of the homeschooling magazines like The Old Schoolhouse. They have lots of resources there. You can check out Home Educating Family, which has lots of resources in the magazine and website. Has lots of great things there. There are lots of resources to show you how to homeschool. I would just say to you, you know, don't sweat it. You know, you're going to do a great job. You know, I remember school. I was in a regular public school. I remember a lot of that was just wasted time, you know. And so now you can waste your time and you can do some of that at home. You can get a lot accomplished. You know, the statistics are out there that show that homeschooling has good results. Not because the parents are so smart, but just because it's good to have your kids at home. So if you're interested, wondering to know if you can do it, let me just tell you, you can. There are a lot of resources out there. And I'll ask you, Scott, how did you, just super briefly, because we don't want to take up very much time, what kind of advice would you give to a guy who's just thinking about homeschooling? Any thoughts in what they might look into?
I say go for it. It's a great experience. It's scary, and especially for my wife, it's been, especially at the beginning, it was very scary for her because she sort of took the lead on teaching our kids. And within a couple of years, she was leading a homeschool co-op, and we haven't looked back. So it's been very rewarding, and our kids are brilliant. No, they're learning a lot. And you know, the thing that appeals to me so much about homeschooling, there were different reasons for why we started, and I won't go into all of that, but the one thing that just keeps me really enjoying it is seeing the love of learning that is there. Our kids, we let them get into things that they get excited about. My son Luke got all into birds one year, and he just devoured this every book he could find on birds. So now, I mean, his knowledge of birds far, I mean, he's forgotten more than I'll ever know. And he did the same thing with sea creatures, whales in particular. He went crazy for whales. And, you know, I mean, what a blast. So it's cool stuff. And in, you know, in public school, they'd probably be ridiculed for getting into stuff like that. But in homeschool, your kid can get into that. And it's cool. It's fun. You can make it that way because you say it's cool and fun.
Great resources. Okay, so let's move on to our last topic, which is the thing that I've been thinking about. You know, Scott, last week we talked about that little YouTube video, it's not about the nail. Well, there have been lots of comments over on our web posting on our blog page. And I guess I was a little surprised. I thought there would be a lot of dads, and there were a lot of dads, who said, oh man, I don't get it, Todd. Why didn't you just pull out the nail? And several of them did say that. But I guess I was kind of concerned. Not concerned. That's not the right word. I was surprised by a string of ladies who got on here, led by their captain, Anne. And Anne wrote, you know, this has me disturbed. I'm a wife, and I don't get this video. If there is a problem that is glaring and it's easy to fix, by all means, take me out of my misery. I talked to my husband and to have him help me and give me direction to hear his perception on something I most likely have out of perception. If tables were flipped and that was my husband with a nail in his head, most of us wives wouldn't even finish listening as long as this man did. We would have had our tweezers out and had that thing pulled out and then been putting disinfectant and a bandage on it. And then a few other ladies, I wrote, well, thanks, Anne. That's what I was thinking. I don't get it either. And another, I'm with you, Anne. I don't get this. Does this mean that when we talk with them about our problems, that they see it usually as a nail sticking out of our heads, that we don't know what we have a nail sticking out of our heads, we know the problem and refuse to deal with it? I really need insight on this video. Carol, that is how it is. You do have a nail sticking out of your head, and sometimes you don't see it. And you know, Anne, if you feel that way, I think, you know, go for it. You know, but again, even Anne, you even mentioned a little bit that usually you're interested in having whatever's bothering you taken care of. You know, I've thought about this, and Philip, he responded actually, and had a good response. You know, he says, ironic, isn't it? Here's my working theory. He says, ladies like yourself, for whatever reason, wiring and personal history varies, just get past the stage of dealing with their emotions over the situation more quickly and are ready to move on to the solution, eager to get out of the misery. What the video does not show is that this woman will eventually want to move on to the obvious solution, but only after taking the minimum amount of time, whatever that is, to get her feelings validated. Now, here's where I get myself into trouble. We all fail to do this, just as different rates and with varying degrees of openness to others. The shorter the average time, the quicker we take it to Jesus, the more mature we become with regard to managing our emotions and regaining our focus on moving forward. And he says, I'm ducking now, so let the tomatoes fly. Working theory aside, though, the video is a good reminder to me that fixing the problem, the person, is not always what I'm called to do at the moment. He's patient with me, and he's talking about God. God's patient with me. I can be patient or gracious with others. And I think, Philip, that was a great, great response. but, you know, as I was thinking about this, there are two different angles to this whole it's not about the nail thing. And several have asked, you know, Todd, can you explain it to me? In fact, Tim, sweet, sweet Tim, said, I'm refreshed to see that many people actually got it and that Todd didn't. It says, thank you, women who understand that sometimes men are right, not because they are men, but because they are speaking truth and it needs to be heard. This video reminds me of the C.S. Lewis Great Divorce. There's a chapter where the narrator describes an angel trying to convince a soul that there was a dragon on their shoulder and that it needed to be removed or destroyed. The logic is similar. Truth is truth. I'm tired of the culture that plays games and takes away the manliness that God gave us just so the feminine half can be affirmed. Okay, there was one other guy. Where is that other guy? Jim. Jim said, Todd, this is very confusing. I thought this was to teach me how to understand my wife. I thought this was a video to train husbands on understanding their wives. Seems to me that this is a video to wives to stop telling their husbands that they don't understand and start listening to their husband's word of wisdom. Wake up, sweetheart. You have a nail in your head. Stop complaining and listen to me. Submit like the Bible tells you to and take the nail out of your head. How does this video help husbands relate to their wives? Basically tells them that their wives won't listen to them, that they are hopeless in pointing to them, the moose on the table, which is invisible to their wives. Jim, you know, I appreciate what you said, and I, you know, what everybody said. And there's such a variety here, but let me just say, as I've been thinking about this since your response, because I just thought it was really, really obvious to me that I need to listen to my wife before I jump in there and solve it. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, you can't help me take out the nail, because whoever wrote that earlier said, you know, the wife does come to a point where she looks in the mirror, she's analyzing it, she knows it, and she goes, oh, you know, there is a nail in my head and it really, really hurts, and you've acknowledged that it really, really hurts. Will you help me take it out, please? And I think that's the point, because sometimes we dads, we feel responsible for the nail, and I think our responsibility, as in 1 Peter chapter 3 says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel. I think the truth is, whether Anne wants to believe it or the other ladies as well, that our wives are weaker vessels. That's the truth. That's what the Bible says. I think sometimes it is hard for them to see the nail because they are weaker vessels. You know, and I don't mean weaker as in bad. I mean weaker as in frail and fragile. And sometimes, you know, like cut glass, they weren't made to shoulder burdens. Not about the nail, sounds like the video, but you know, they just see things differently. They are overwhelmed by things differently. You know, the nail, you know, all she can concentrate is not the nail, but about the pain that it's causing, you know, the hurt that it's causing. And there are lots of times, I even use illustrations that, you know, I say, you know, my wife, she doesn't want me to solve it. Why doesn't she want me to solve it? I think it's not because she wants the pain to continue or the problem to continue. She just wants me to say, I understand. And I think that's our responsibility, because in 1 Peter chapter 3, it doesn't say, husbands, you know, live with your wives and solve their problems, or live with your wives and, you know, make sure it's all easier. I think we're somehow to be understanding to our wives. And I may have shared it in the past, but I think that's just kind of viewing life through their eyes, through their emotions. Validating, you know, as we talked before. I remember one time when I was at my in-law's lake cottage, and we were getting ready to go to bed, and we were in bed, and always put my glasses on the dresser, and as I was, I put them on the dresser, and later that night, this kid started crying. And as I woke up, I stumbled over my dresser, I grabbed my glasses, and I stuck them on. And immediately I knew they weren't right. My glasses didn't feel right. In fact, I knew right away that they were my wife's glasses. And I just had this profound thought. Is this how my wife sees things? You know, I was looking through her glasses. I was looking through her lenses. I was looking through her eyes. And, you know, in just a short period of time, you know, just in a minute, seconds, I kind of did this, you know, and as my kids are screaming in the background, or my child was, I was thinking, you know, that she sees things differently. In fact, we were working on a house project at the time, and I saw it all as fun and games, and man, it was cool, and it was an adventure. As I looked through her glasses, I knew she saw it as this big dark cloud that hangs over our house until it's finished. You know, as I viewed my kids through her glasses, I see them as fun. You know, and she sees them as mess makers who are just making messes faster than you can keep up, you know, and that changes your perspective. Now, I should point out and say, honey, you know, you're looking at it all wrong. You should be looking at these children as our, you know, as treasures, as they're only going to be here for a short period of time. And I can do that. But first, I need to live with my wife in an understanding way, you know, and even as I had my glasses on and I looked at myself, you know, and maybe as this lady with the nail on her head is looking at her husband, you know, maybe through her glasses, she just sees a person who all they care about is the nail. All they care about is the problem, when what we should be caring about is the person. I do think, you know, the video is hits the nail on the head. You know, if it was a long extended conversation, I think later on it would show the husband gently pulling the nail out of her head, or maybe being harsh and pulling it out of her head, or whatever. But it would be after they've gone through this period of time where he's sharing these things. So Anne, you know, and all your lady minions, you know, I know you see it this way, and I, you know, you see it as this woman is weak and that she just needs to buck up. Here's the truth. The truth is she is weak. The truth is, ladies, you are weak. Not in a bad way, but in a different way. In a fragile, frail, exquisite. I didn't say that. God said it. And so I'm just confirming with that. Dads, this is such a big deal, I think, that that passage in 1 Peter, it continues and says, you know, and treat them as fellow heirs so that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, this is bigger than just the nail in the head. You know, if you don't pull out the nail, she's in a lot of pain and maybe you've let her down, and that may be true. But your prayers are still not hindered. But if you are not understanding and you pull that nail out, somehow your prayers are hindered. I don't understand what that means, but that's what the Bible says. That's what God says through the writer. So, you know, as Jim said, you know, is it about our wives submitting to us? I don't know. I'm not talking to wives, Jim, or to other guys, or Anna. I shouldn't even be talking to you now, because my whole ministry is to dads. Dads, I just want you to live with your wife in an understanding way. And not just because I want you to, because it's not about what I want you to. I believe God, because he wrote it there. He wants you to live with your wife in an understanding way. I'm going to guess, Scott, that you have an opportunity to do that this week. I have an opportunity right now. You know, my wife's got some projects in her head. And to be honest, you know, I don't always have time to do that. I don't even think the priorities should be that. You know what? I'm doing them anyway, because I'm trying to be understanding with my... I'm trying to understand all the stuff that's going on in my wife, so she has this urgency in these areas. I could say, well, honey, you know, that's not really very urgent right now. You need to get off that and get on this. But I think, somehow, by not being understanding with my wife, God's displeased with that. And he didn't listen to me when I asked for things. So somehow God is pleased when I try to be understanding and I even adjust what I believe, or maybe not believe, as in truth, but as in my perspective and as in my schedule, and I do what she would like me to do. So I'm going to go be understanding with your wife. Scott, I'm going to let you take us out of here because the music's starting, and this might even be a little bit longer because I failed to take into account your comments. So we'll try not to make it too long. Scott, you may have to do a little bit of special editing. And I hope to have a good time with my wife tonight, being reminded again about being married without kids. And we're going to have our kids' fun day, our kids' day on Friday as we go to Monsters, Inc. And if you haven't done your kids' day, make sure you do. Do your summer vacation, summer plans. Make sure you get it on the calendar. Check it off the list so you can get it done. And dads, remember to live with your wives in an understanding way, because as the video said, as we talked about last week, and Anne and all you other naysayers, because the truth is, it's not about the nail. So have a great day. Don't forget, you to dad.
And that's our show for this week, folks. Thanks for joining us on The Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. Don't forget to check out familymanweb.com and find all your resources there. The RV CD and Todd's cartoon CDs. Those things go crazy on Facebook every time we put one of his cartoons on there. Did you know that you can actually buy those? Get the CD-ROM with all of his cartoons on them. They're very cool. So check those out as well. And if you have a question for the show, email it to familyman@familymanweb.com. And if you have a question for me for some reason, you can hit me up at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. All right, that's all I got for this week. Thanks, Todd. We'll be back together next week. You to dad. Have a great week.